Rick Hunt, Chicago White Sox, joins us. Obviously we're Sox fans, and obviously as the flagship, we would have liked to be talking about something different today. But instead, we're talking about what I think, Rick, is good news, and that's who we're going to get now.
Well, I can't give you an answer exactly to that. All I can tell you is that obviously we were very aggressive in our pursuit of Manny, and despite it not turning out the way any of us had hoped, it certainly doesn't deter us from continuing to be aggressive. And I don't know when exactly this money is going to be spent, but I can assure you it will be spent, and it will be spent towards furthering our goal of putting us in position to win multiple championships. It's going to come down to a question of timing, though. Is there going to be the opportunity to do that this offseason, which we realize some people and some people's opinion, it's a little premature to be that aggressive entering year three of a rebuild, or will it happen next offseason or at a trade deadline? The fact is that the resources are there, and at the right time, we're going to continue to try to convert on pieces that improve our long-term outlook even more.
Rick, when you think about this, and you know, there was a lot of talk yesterday about just how shocked you were and how shocked Kenny Williams were and the whole White Sox management. You know, for you personally, to be in a situation where you put an offer on the table and you want to get a free agent to come to your squad, how does it feel to not get that done?
Look, there's clearly a sense of disappointment and a sense of missing out and realizing what could have been. And that, honestly, that's no different for me than any Sox fan. I mean, fundamentally, we are all fans, which is part of why all of us who work for clubs got into the business originally. So we feel that same sense of loss or that same anger or disappointment or whatever title you want to put on that emotion. We're unfortunately not immune to it. The good news for me, at least, in the way I can get by this and the way I've started to already get by this, is I get the privilege of walking in the big league clubhouse this morning and hearing Jose Abreu address the club and Tim Anderson address the club and Ricky Renteria's energy and look around the room and see Eloy sitting there and Luis Robert a few lockers down and can see with my own eyes on a daily basis where this thing is going and what the future looks like. I got the opportunity. I'm going to sit in on the minor league mini camp meeting later this week, and that is going to further reinforce how much we've already accomplished in the first 2 years of this rebuild. And I also know in conversations with Jerry and with Kenny and with Jeremy Haber, our assistant GM, and others around here, we've got, you know, the mindset of continuing to be aggressive in this realm. And it's not just going to be these guys that we can see around this camp who are going to form a great core for a long, long time, but it's going to be other additions that we pursue in the coming months and years that are going to continue to enhance this position.
Talking with Rick Hahn, look, having too much money to spend is a good problem to have. Thank you, Jerry. But does that mean you're in the Bryce Harper? This is what happens when you get up early.
Harpy.
Bryce Harper sweepstakes?
The only thing I can assure you is that we will not be signing Bryce Harvey. I promise you that. But no, I'm not allowed to talk about any specific free agents. And I'm not going to I'm out of the prognostication business. I'm not going to speculate anymore about whether we're going to be able to convert on a specific target or not. But I will tell you whether we make any a single addition for the next few months or next few weeks rather or not, this money is earmarked to making us better for the long term.
Yeah, I don't know exactly
it happens. I don't know.
I don't want to put you in a jam, but if Bryce Harper called today and said, "Man, it'd be swell to be in Chicago," could you take the call?
I take anybody's call. You know that.
Well,
you know,
played
that.
Especially by you.
It's a premium, especially
well
when it's a superstar player.
No, by you.
I've got players from a lower echelon calling as well, and I take their calls. So certainly my number is well known and wide open.
Rick, you mentioned some of the youngsters that are in the White Sox clubhouse this spring training, and it's impressive to think about all the names. Are we going to see most of those names in 2019? Is that the expectation that this, for this year in the rebuild, that we're going to start to see some of these superstars in the making on the field?
I think we're going to start seeing some of them. I think Ricky put it best the other day that some of the flowers are starting to bloom, but perhaps not quite the entire bouquet. Eloy, we obviously expect him to spend the vast majority, if not all, of the season up in Chicago. Dylan Cease, the minor league pitcher of the year last year, we expect will, similar to Kopech, force his way into Chicago at some point. And then we have our catching crew of Collins and Zavala will be at AAA and obviously just a phone call away. But there's another sort of critical mass of guys who are most likely going to start, if not spend the bulk of the year in AA Birmingham. We've promoted guys out of AA before, and if they put themselves in the position to force us, then we'll do it again this year. But we're not, especially on a day like today, it's easy to be like, you know what? Luis Robert gets off to a great first half. We're going to come see what he can do and get this thing moving.
Right.
We got to resist that temptation. We got to remain focused on the long term. We've been extremely diligent over the first 2 years, two plus years of this rebuild, about prioritizing player development and getting guys to Chicago when they are ready, not just because we're hungry to see them in Chicago. So some of these guys being in double A and above are going to wind up landing in Chicago.
Yeah.
But if I had to bet on the two most likely, or at least the probable first two, would be Eloy and Dylan Cease.
The other name thrown around in the newspapers this week, Nick Madrigal, who of course the first round pick, who just doesn't strike out, which is impressive for a youngster and a guy that easily, because of that skill, can make it in the majors faster than others who have to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible that we could see someone who you didn't necessarily project for a couple of years make it to the big league squad because they have skills that easily adapt to major league pitching?
It's certainly possible. What we try to do is a couple times over the course of the year, and now is one of the times, is set a individual player development plan for each of these guys based upon what not only their skill set but what they've accomplished so far, both from an objective standpoint in terms of whether it's innings pitched or plate appearances at a given level and performance, or as well as sort of more subjective evaluation of their tools and how they'd hold up at the higher level. And we try to map that out. Chris Getz, our farm director, and his staff get very specific with each player and try to map out the plan for the entire year. So on a guy like Madrigal, 1 year out of the draft, that plan would likely not include a taste of Chicago in his first full season. That said, we revisit these plans midway through the year, and we make adjustments accordingly based upon what the guys are showing. So with a kid with such an advanced hit tool and such strong defense and plus-plus makeup, we can't rule out him coming more quickly than we map out. But initially, especially at the start of the season, we're going to map out something that's mindful of getting enough repetition at the minor league level before advancing.
We'll let you go here, but there's two things I think White Sox fans need to hear, and you've already said one of them, and that is that we have money to spend. We're going to spend it. We're going to spend it smart, and that means we may not spend it tomorrow, but we are going to spend it. That's a good thing to hear. Secondarily, though, I think White Sox fans need to hear that there's not some sort of block in recruiting guys to come here, because that's a rumor I'm seeing on a lot of baseball sites and certainly the internet, and a lot of people who don't have opinions suddenly do have opinions. Speak to the speak to the recruitment part.
Yeah, I don't. There's some weird little potholes that came up overnight from what I was our head of communication, Scott Reifert, shared with me earlier. This notion that the White Sox have an organizational philosophy against out clauses, as an example. And because of that organizational philosophy, they're never going to land a premier free agent. First of all, there is no organizational philosophy. I have no idea where that came from. It's obviously a very player-friendly clause. And it's one that in recent years you've seen teams starting to sort of ameliorate a little bit by having it balanced with perhaps a mutual option type structure instead of the unilateral opt-out. But it's not as if we have that as a complete block against signing these guys. So from a recruitment standpoint, these decisions on these mega deals are very complex. There's a lot of factors that go in, not just the length of the contract and the guarantee of the contract, but the upside, the opt-outs, as we talked about, the no-trade protection, and the flexibility that each side enjoys over the near decade-long commitment. Any one of those things, as well as family preference, relationship, chance to win in the home city and all that, any of those things could be the deciding factor for an individual free agent. And from our standpoint, we don't have it really limits in any of those areas. We have the ability to balance the interests of both sides and put together the best deal that both sides could be comfortable with. So I don't see that as there being this sort of poison pill out there that's going to prevent us from closing. In the end, we line up the valuation and try to come up with a deal that is good and both sides can live with. We thought we got extraordinarily close with this specific player, but in the end, this is free agency. These guys have worked extremely hard to get to the point where they can make their choice based upon whatever they want. I think we made the choice very hard on this player, but ultimately it didn't go our way. It's not going to stop us from trying again. Sure. and ultimately closing on one of these guys when we align them correctly.
I'll tell you right now, part of the problem is Tom Skilling. He could have changed this weather. He could have made it more West Coast-like. All right, so listen, we appreciate the time. We know how busy things get, and we're very happy, as you know, to be the White Sox flagship, and I know you're happy with us. But Bryce Harpe is not coming here anytime soon.
No Bryce Harvey. That's the only thing I can rule out on this call.
All right. Thank you, Rick Hahn, White Sox GM. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, guys. Take care.
See you later.